Thank you, Kath.
Let's pray as we come to God's word. Our great God, we thank you that you are not a God who is silent or distant, but one who draws close to us by your Spirit, through faith in your Son, and a God who speaks in his word. Would you speak to us this morning through this ancient story of King Hezekiah? Teach us about yourself and our dealings with you this day, we pray. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Good. Well, look, if you were here last week, Matt took us through chapter 17. And chapter 17 of the book of 2 Kings is a pretty miserable affair. Do you remember that? We were thinking about the northern kingdom, the kingdom of Israel. And we heard that they were in a terrible spiritual state, lost in idolatry, immorality. The kings were failing and wicked. And God took them from his land. He exiled them from the land of Canaan at the hands of the Assyrian nation. That was the last chapter, chapter 17. But we're given a little recap of it here in chapter 18. Verse 11, just have a look with me, will you? Verse 11 of chapter 18, the king of Assyria deported Israel to Assyria and settled them in Halan and Gozan on the river Habor in the town of the Medes. This happened because they had not obeyed the Lord their God, but had violated his covenant. All that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded, they neither listened to the commands nor carried them out. All right, that was the last chapter. But it's significant that we're giving a little reminder of it here in chapter 18. Assyria was this great superpower of the age. We could have had some kind of military analysis of what's happened. Assyria had bigger armies, better technology. They were expanding their empire. They took over rival nations. But our author doesn't summarize all that's happened previously in those terms. Instead, our author gives us this heavenly perspective. This isn't about the size of the Assyrian army. It's not about their drone technology. The fate of the nation lies in the hands of God. This happened because they had not obeyed the Lord their God, but had violated his covenant. That's the backdrop then for this story, not of the northern kingdom, Israel, but the southern kingdom, Judah, with its king, King Hezekiah. Now the Assyrians are coming for him. In fact, can you see verse 13? This great Assyrian nation has made some incursions right into Judah's territory, taking some of their big cities. The wolf is at the door. That's the scene that our writer sets for us. And now we're poised to ask, what will King Hezekiah do? You perhaps hear that phrase every now and again. We use a phrase that means if people drink too much and get drunk, it kind of reveals who they really are, in vino veritas. But the Bible teaches often that it's in a place of suffering, and that's tough to hear, but it's in a place of suffering or difficulty, even a crisis, that we can see something true about ourselves. A struggle at school, we lose our job, money gets tight at home. These troubles that we face reveal something true about us, in discrimine veritas, in crisis there is truth. And it's something we see with Hezekiah. The Assyrian king wants payment. Give me all your money and I'll leave you alone, like the bully in the school playground. Give me your pocket money or I'll take your pat lunch. And we're forced to ask, well, what should Hezekiah do in the face of this great threat? Before we answer that question, I want to go back to the start of chapter 18, because there we're given this lovely overview of the whole of Hezekiah's reign. And we see that he is a king who, above all, wanted to be faithful to the Lord his God, just as his distant ancestor King David had done, verse 3. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father David had done. His love for the Lord his God, Hezekiah, was so great that he took away the shrines of false religion, verse 4. That bronze snake that Moses had made right back earlier in history that people were worshipping the snake, and so Hezekiah broke it down, and we worship the one God, not images, he says. Hezekiah was a good leader of God's people. He was a good leader, this summary tells us, because more than anything else, he understood that his responsibility began with the worship of the living God. And so we get that wonderful phrase, verse 6, Hezekiah held fast to the Lord and did not stop following him. He kept the commands the Lord had given Moses. There's our big picture summary of Hezekiah, a wonderful leader and king. That little phrase, he held fast to the Lord, verse 6, is so lovely. In the original language in which this was written, that phrase is used way back earlier in the Old Testament, in Genesis chapter 2, when we see the first marriage take place. Moses writes of that event in the Garden of Eden between Adam and Eve and says that a man should leave his father and mother and be united to his wife. United to his wife is the same phrase that is used here of Hezekiah and the Lord his God. That helps flesh it out a bit, doesn't it, I think? It did for me as I was mulling this over. When marriage is what it should be, then a husband and wife are the very best friends. They are closer to one another than anyone else. They are united almost as one person. And that closeness is the same word that is used to describe Hezekiah's relationship with the Lord his God. What does it take to be a good parent, a good boss, a good captain of the football team, a good city mayor, a good older and sister or brother, a good pastor? Well, can you see, like Hezekiah, it begins with love and faithfulness to Jesus Christ, our Lord and King, to be united to be Christ, to be best of friends, to be closer to him than to anyone else. But no matter how good our best leaders are, they're never perfect. Not human leaders, not this side of heaven. Our best leaders, even our best leaders, are flawed. And that's true of Hezekiah. Like David before him, even though he was a great leader, still he was human, still he was flawed. And so when the Assyrian king comes right up to the boundaries of Jerusalem, for a moment, Hezekiah is weak. Instead of running to the Lord for help, as he should have done, he tried to pay off Sennacherib, didn't he? Verse 15. So Hezekiah gave him, that's the king of Assyria, so Hezekiah gave him all the silver that was found in the temple of the Lord and in the treasures of the royal palace. In fact, he wasn't certain that was enough, so he sent the builders up onto the roof of the temple, verse 16. Hezekiah, king of Judah, stripped off the gold with which he had covered the doors and doorposts of the temple of Assyria and gave it to the king of Assyria. A great king in many ways. The summary at the start of chapter 18 tells us that, but still a flawed king, still a moment of weakness. If you go to visit Oxford, you'll see in the city centre, or just outside the city centre, there's this monument called Martyrs Memorial. It's an amazing thing to go and see, and I encourage you to try and do that if ever you get a chance. It remembers faithful church leaders who, and this is awful to think, but even in our own country, were killed because of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and because they wanted to shape the life of the church around the Bible. This was about 500 years ago. One of those leaders was a man called Thomas Cranmer. Can you see where I get my beard inspiration from? Cranmer was this giant, just a wonderful, wonderful Christian and leader. But because he wanted to make sure the church followed the teachings of the Bible and not just what any queen or pope said, that he was horribly persecuted. Queen Mary was the queen at the time, and she sent him to prison for a long time, where he suffered all kinds of terrible things. And in a moment of weakness in prison, he said, oh, I've made a mistake. I'm going to obey Queen Mary and not King Jesus. And he signed a form to say that. And then some time later, he came to his senses and he realized he'd made a terrible mistake. He realized deep down he wanted to follow King Jesus, even if Queen Mary would sentence him to death. And so he was called recanted. He turned away from that document that he'd signed and said, no, he stood with the teachings of the Bible. So much so that Queen Mary did kill him. He was burned at the stake. And when he was burned, he put the hand that had signed that document into the fire at first. And for as much as my hand offended, writing contrary to my heart, my hand shall first be punished. For if I may come to the fire, it shall be first burned. Thomas Cranmer. An amazing Christian leader, but not perfect, flawed, because he was human. But despite making a mistake, he stayed faithful, finally, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the same is true of Hezekiah, even the wonderful Hezekiah, who instituted all the reforms that we read about at the beginning of chapter 18 and the book of 2 Chronicles tells us much more about. Even though he made all these great reforms, even he could panic. Even Hezekiah could have a moment of weakness and give in, pay off the king of Assyria rather than call out to the Lord for help. And yet still, by the grace of God, he could come back to the Lord and remain faithful to the end. That's true of you and me as well, isn't it? Our mistakes don't define us. In fact, we can have a confidence that by the grace of God, we can be used by God despite our mistakes. We can be good followers of Jesus, good leaders for Jesus, even though we're flawed. Hezekiah shows us the way. And that's true because though our leaders are flawed, our great God is flawless. The Assyrian king takes the money, goes away, but you know how it goes with a bully. One payment will never be enough. That's why you should never make the first payment in the first place. The king of Assyria comes back to Judah. He sends his field commander with a message, and he poses this question to the people of Judah at verse 20. You say that you have counsel and the might for war, but you speak only empty words. On whom are you depending that you rebel against me? Now he's going to suggest they're depending on a different nation, Egypt, and that they're depending in the Lord their God, but they shouldn't. If they're going to fear anybody, it should only be the king of Assyria. But the question is a good one, isn't it, I think? When trouble comes, upon whom do you defend? The Assyrian commander makes the same point pretty much again, verse 29. This is what the king says, do not let Hezekiah deceive you. He cannot deliver you from my hand. Do not let Hezekiah persuade you to trust in the Lord when he says, the Lord will surely deliver us. This city will not be given into the hands of the king of Assyria. It's another crisis moment for Hezekiah. He's had a moment of weakness before. He tried to pay off the Assyrian king. This time we find by the grace of God, he stands firm. The Lord God is his unfailing rock and unceasing comfort. If anyone can help them, it's the Lord his God. He will be the rescuer. Now, I'm being a little naughty here. We're going to dip into chapter 19, which is really what Matt will speak about last time. But I want you to see where this goes. Can you see that Hezekiah, even though he's stressed, chapter 19 and verse 15 and 16, he goes to the right place this time, not to his wallet to pay off the bully, but to prayer to speak to the Lord his God. And the Lord answers through the prophet Isaiah that he will lead the Assyrians away from little Judah, and Judah will be spared. He uses this lovely image, chapter 19 and verse 28, speaking of Assyria. Because you rage against me, says the Lord, and because your insolence has reached my ears, I will put my hook in your nose and my bit in your mouth, and I will make you return by the way you came. The Lord God will lead that bullying nation away. Matt will tell you more about that next week. What's key is that God is faithful, even though Hezekiah faltered earlier on in his life. That is to say, God in his goodness doesn't allow sin and weakness to be the end of Hezekiah's story or our story. His grace to us, that's the final thing. That's much more important. That was true in Hezekiah's day. How much more true is it for you and for me as we look to the death and resurrection of God's true King, King Jesus? Sin and death and judgment, my failings and yours, are not the end of the story. That's not what defines us. God's grace, his forgiveness, life in Christ, that's the end of the gospel story. Even our best leaders are flawed, but our great God is flawless, isn't he, in his perfect love. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we like Hezekiah mess up, make mistakes, show weakness and fear. But you, as you were for Hezekiah, remain steadfast and true. Even when we falter, you are faultless. Help us always trust in you. And as it was for Hezekiah, let grace be the end of our story, we pray. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.